This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week's podcast is brought to you by BHP. Copper is a big deal in the energy transition because it's used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. When it comes to producing copper responsibly, it's happening now at BHP. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Kate Watson.
It's Tuesday the 30th of April. In your Squiz today, Albanese is under fire, protesting for peace in the Middle East, some high-level comings and goings, and Taylor Swift ties with Madonna. This is your Squiz today. Kate, nice to have you on for a cameo today.
Oh, Taylor Swift, and I think we're going to talk about netball as well, Alice, so I'm pretty stoked to be here today. Siobhan's a little unwell, but I'm happy to fill in.
Yeah, let's get into it. So we spoke yesterday about the rallies held across the country over the weekend, demanding government action to tackle the issue of violence against women. One of those was in Canberra, which was attended by our PM, Anthony Albanese. And yesterday, his speech became a hot topic, Kate.
Yeah, bear with me because it's a bit of back and forth, but basically during that speech, Albanese said that he and Minister for Women, Katie Gallagher, had both asked the organisers for a chance to speak, but he'd been told that it wouldn't be possible, which was something he mentioned when he did in fact speak. At the time, the rally organiser Sarah Williams could be seen in the background saying that what he was recounting was a flat out lie, and since she said that he only spoke because he was being heckled by the audience.
Yeah, so if you saw any footage of him speaking, you might have noticed a woman crying on the stage next to him. That was Sarah Williams. She says Albanese's office told her before the event that he would walk alongside the protesters, but not speak.
It's a lot of he said, she said, but the upshot of it is that Albanese has been questioned a lot about what went down in the lead up to that rally and during that rally, with the accusation being that he demanded to speak. He's been keen to redirect the conversation. He reckons, and this is his quote, "This should not be a distraction from what is a very serious issue." But that response didn't fly with several critics, including Nationals leader David Littleproud. He said Albanese's actions were tone deaf.
Yeah, and he also said it was Albanese's responsibility to lead this nation, not to make petty political points at the expense of a brave woman who has come forward in her community. And as we mentioned yesterday, this conversation is likely to continue with an emergency national cabinet meeting being held tomorrow on the issue of domestic violence. Kate, the parents of a 16-year-old boy who's accused of committing a terrorist attack in Sydney's southwest have spoken publicly for the first time since he was arrested for stabbing Bishop Marmari Emmanuel.
Yeah, they haven't been named because they're in hiding. They're, of course, worried about their safety. What they say is that their son has serious anger management issues, long-standing mental health concerns, and is also suspected of being autistic. They've been insistent that he's not a terrorist, but police say they've found text messages between the 16-year-old and several other teenagers who were arrested in raids last week. They're all alleged to be part of a terror cell.
Yeah, yesterday police shared the contents of some of those text messages. They include messages about wanting to target Jews, being ready to die for their cause, and also calling themselves soldiers of Allah. It feels like there's fresh ceasefire negotiations kicking off between Israel and Hamas every week at the moment, and the latest round has just gotten underway. And as that happens, Kate, there's extra pressure mounting on Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu to reach a deal.
Yeah, and that pressure is particularly coming out of the US, which is where there have been big protests at numerous university campuses over the weekend. There was fighting between pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian sides. One of the major fights was at the University of California on Sunday. And at Columbia University, more than 100 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested for trespassing. That comes after a lot of criticism that the campus was allowing demonstrations that many Jewish people regarded as anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's right. Reports say there have been isolated incidents of anti-Semitism and harassment, but the college demonstration leaders say that outsiders who have hijacked the events are responsible for those. A message now from our podcast partner, BHP. We hear a lot about the transition to renewable energy, but not so much about how it's actually going to be achieved. That's why BHP is raising awareness about its efforts to not only produce essential resources for the transition, like copper, but also reduce the greenhouse gas emissions it produces in the production of those resources. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP, and you can find out more by visiting bhp.com/critical. Kate, it's only Tuesday and there's already been a few high-level job movements this week. To start with, Seven News boss Craig McPherson has called it quits.
So Craig McPherson's the person in charge of news in its entirety at Channel 7. It's been weeks of pressure on that part of the business. Other members of the leadership team have stepped down. Those scandals include things like Bruce Lehrman's controversial Spotlight interview and the network's misidentification of the Bondi attacker. And then completely unrelated, Alice, when you're talking about moves and high-level job movements, former Aussie netball captain Liz Ellis has joined the board of Netball Australia. The reason that's notable is that she's been an outspoken critic of netball for its handling of a series of off-court dramas late last year. And finally, I'll throw to you for another sport one.
Yeah, the other one is that former Aussie cricketer Jason Gillespie has also been named Pakistan's next test coach. Another thing that's been getting a lot of airtime recently is all the records that Taylor Swift has been smashing her way through. And Kate, she's notched a couple of new ones with her latest album.
I have definitely contributed to some of these records. I've listened to this album a number of times, as I'm sure you have too, Alice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As I said, netball and Taylor Swift in one podcast, this is my day. We're, of course, referring to the Tortured Poets Department, TTPD. For short, for those fans out there. It's been out for a matter of weeks. She's broken a heap of records. She's now equaled Madonna's title as the female artist with the most number ones in UK charts history. She's also beaten a record held by the Beatles in how quickly she's racked up 12 UK number one albums. So if you weren't sure about how big Taylor Swift was, which I'm pretty sure people are by now, she's, you know, stratospheric now.
Yeah, she's also stratospheric here in Australia. She currently holds the entire top 10 on the singles chart with songs from the Tortured Poets Department. And Swift herself is pretty stoked with all of that. She jumped on social media yesterday to say her mind is blown and she's completely floored by the love that's been shown to the album, particularly from UK.
Thanks, Swifty. Happy to help.
Squeeze the day, Kate.
Squeeze the day. You and Siobhan mentioned on the podcast yesterday that Anthony Albanese is in Alice Springs, so expecting a bit of news out of Alice Springs today. Also, you told me that retail trade data is out, Alice.
Yeah, so that's another indicator of how the economy is going. And it's also timely because it works in with this week's News Club episode, Kate.
How about that? I can talk about News Club. So News Club is out today. I've been doing a bit of reading, Alice, about ultra-fast fashion and in particular a company called Temu. People might have shopped on it or might recognize it because they've really saturated the market in the last few years. Then I got into researching Shein as well, which is another big e-commerce platform that sells clothes very, very cheaply. Long way of saying, this week's News Club is an interview with fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review, Lauren Sams, about ultra-fast fashion and the associated problems.
Yeah, that interview is out on the News Club feed this morning. And Kate, the part of the chat that I found really fascinating was the shift in consumers from wanting things fast to wanting things cheap.
Yeah, that's because Temu and Shein ship from factories in China. And this isn't a News Club episode, so I won't keep going. But it's super interesting. It takes a little longer for stuff to arrive, but people don't seem to mind, Alice, when you can buy three t-shirts for $3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good episode. Just search for News Club in your podcast app, hit follow, and you're good to go. And that's it for us today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
G'day, Kate Watson here, host of the News Club podcast, the place to go for conversations about the news. Never have we done an interview that has garnered so much positive feedback. I'm referring to my chat with Bernie Shakeshaft. He's the founder of Backtrack, a community-led organisation with a simple mission: keep kids alive, keep them out of jail, and help them chase their dreams. In the context of youth crime being a big news topic, I wanted to give you a chance to hear about his approach. Here's a snippet. Talk to me about that relationship between authorities and these kids, because they're already interacted at some level. Mm-hmm. in most cases, as I understand it.
Yeah, let me take you back to the start, because when we first started, the coppers were going, oh, here we go. Every damn criminal in Armidale is going to be down here, bags not being their neighbours, and the cops would drive in and the kids would go out over the back fence, and this just went on for years, and it was just like, this is getting so stupid. So I sat with a good mate of mine. It wasn't always easy, I can tell you. He was the inspector, so one of the most senior cops, and I went, this is just stupid. Like, you know, you got a kid coming in here with 14 offences for riding his push bike. Let's just stop it. Hasn't been quick, but I doubt there would be another community in Australia that has as good a relationship with the police as we have with these 5% of rough and tumble kids that are in every single town. So those coppers come down here, but they make the coffee, and it's senior cops, and it's detectives, and it's the Aboriginal liaison officer, and it's the junior constable, and now you can see this relationship. When the kids do, they've got a little social enterprise going, car washing, you know, where they might have 50 cars to wash in a day or whatever, and people come down, have a coffee and a biscuit and a chat while they get their car washed. And so do the police, bring the highway patrol car down there and wash that. And when the dog squad come through, and like everyone in town, you watch it light up on social media, you know, don't know what's going on. There's like 20 cop cars down there at Backtrack. Shit must have
really
hit the
bed. They're just getting their cars washed.
Yep. Or goofing around with the dogs, you know. And once you break that stuff down, it really makes a difference, you know.
To listen to the whole interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app.